so this country never had, used to talk about the new Labour cuckoos attempting to take over the Labour nest. Well, they've absolutely not just taken it over, they've absolutely destroyed it and broken all the eggs in the Labour nest. And it's impossible to put broken eggs back together. And we therefore need to, in my opinion, focus on building a new nest. But it won't be easy build a new party. But it's not impossible. It's been done in the past. I mean, look, you know, back in the day, the duopoly system that existed in Britain, two-party system, was between the Liberals and the Conservatives, and then Labour broke through. So it can be done. It can be done. And as I keep saying, you know, with solidarity, anything is possible. And, you know, there are more of us than them at the end of the day. And we've just got to give people confidence that, you know, we can actually make a difference.
Thanks very much, Chris, for your time. Really appreciate you coming on. I have to say, I'm in complete agreement with what Chris said, with what Mikko said. Unfortunately, the Corbyn experiment is dead. Whatever chance the Labour Party had of actually being a vehicle for anti-imperialism, being an anti-war movement, being a party that champions the rights of workers, that actually fights for Palestinians, is gone. It has been taken over once again by the liberal establishment, by the Blairites, who are now working in tandem with the Conservatives, with the Tories, to promote authoritarian, absolutely Orwellian policies, like the Overseas Operations Bill, which legalizes war crimes by British soldiers, or the Spy Cops Bill, which gives undercover government agents the right to commit crimes, any crimes. This is absolutely frightening. There is no more opposition party in the UK. And whatever chance there was at having one is also gone. This shows us once again the reach of the Zionist lobby and how far they are willing to go to silence pro-Palestinian voices and anyone who speaks out against their persecution and ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, who exposes their war crimes. This should frighten anyone who actually cares about having a democracy and about fighting racism in all of its forms. And anyone who is denying that this was a political witch hunt, that this was politically motivated, that this was a targeted campaign against Jeremy Corbyn, against his allies, and against the true leftist and anti-imperialist wing of the Labour Party, is lying to themselves. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
As of the last week of November, COVID-19 has claimed the lives of more than 100,000 people who live and work in long-term care facilities in the United States of America, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's latest analysis of state-reported data. As KFF explained, the predicted surge in cases after holiday gatherings and increased time indoors due to winter weather will have ripple effects on hospitals and nursing homes, given the close relationship between community spread and cases in congregate care settings. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Kenny Stansil Ryder. This article is published under the heading Bleak Milestone. More than 100,000 American nursing home residents and staff killed by pandemic. Here's the details of this article. As of the last week of November, COVID-19 has claimed the lives of more than 100,000 people who live and work in long-term care facilities in the United States of America, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's latest analysis of state-reported data. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, KFF, 40% of the nation's COVID-19 deaths have occurred in long-term care facilities. While early action to prevent the spread of coronavirus in long-term care facilities led to strict protocols related to testing, personal protective equipment, and visitor restrictions, KFF pointed out that Several of these measures have been reversed in recent months, and some long-term care facilities continue to report shortages of PPE and staff. According to physician and public health expert Michael Barnett, 7.7% of the U.S. nursing home residents, or 1 in 13, have now died as a result of COVID-19. Things have never really gotten better, he tweeted. Testing is a struggle. PPE and staff are daily challenges. Soon after reaching the bleak milestone of 100,000 pandemic deaths in long-term care facilities, which happened on Tuesday, November 24th, in the United States, this country on Thursday, November 26th, experienced a new record number of coronavirus-related hospitalizations, as Common Dreams reported earlier, Friday, November 27th. Millions of Americans have passed through airports in the past week, despite the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's recommendation against traveling for Thanksgiving. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, does not expect conditions to improve by Christmas and the New Year. As KFF explained, the predicted surge in cases after holiday gatherings and increased time indoors due to winter weather will have ripple effects on hospitals and nursing homes, given the close relationship between community spread and cases in congregate care settings. The U.S. COVID-19 death toll surpassed 264,000 recently. Meanwhile, Thanksgiving marked the 24th consecutive day of more than 100,000 new daily cases in the U.S. Given the pandemic's disproportionate impact on the high-risk populations who live and work in long-term care facilities, even more nursing home residents, employees, and their families are expected to be negatively affected by coronavirus as long as the number of infections continue to grow. Post-Thanksgiving surges in cases are unlikely to spare this community and will likely lead to an ever higher death toll in long-term care facilities, KFF said, adding, raising questions about whether nursing homes and other facilities are able to protect their residents and if not, what actions can be taken to mitigate the threat posed by the virus. As the New York Times reported in June, when the COVID-19 death toll in long-term care facilities was just over 50,000, some critics have argued that the profit-driven nature of the private nursing home industry is underlying the problem. Since treating elder care as a commodity rather than a public good can incentivize cost-cutting or money-making measures that put people in harm's way. An investigation of long-term care facilities in Connecticut, the result of which were published in August, lent credence to that hypothesis. According to the study, for-profit nursing homes had about 60% more cases and deaths per licensed bed than nonprofit ones, while larger facilities were hit harder than smaller ones, and homes serving as part of a chain had worse outcomes, as Reuters reported at the time. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse noted recently that he and Senator Bob Casey have a bill to help nursing homes protect their residents and workers from COVID-19. According to Whitehouse, it's time to pass it.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, and I am Atta, the host of this program. This series of the program Viewpoints, produced by Brother Mahmoud, is an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Within the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom. To continue the discussion, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum, brother, welcome to the show.
Wa alaykum assalam. Thanks for having me here.
That's right. So, you know, one of the important cases that the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, recently, one of his speeches tackled was the results of the 2020 United States presidential election and the role that it might have or have not in the destiny of the other countries, including the country that is led by him, Islamic Republic of Iran. We know that the Democratic Party, led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, won the election. And there have been, of course, some claims about the fraud in election by President Trump, the now President of the United States of America. But and everywhere in the media, when you were looking, you know, they were after the results of this election, that what will happen. Of course, you know, there are still days for Joe Biden to get into the office and start his official work over there. The important case is that different leaders all across the world have sent congratulations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but the supreme leaders of Iran approach to this election and the result was somehow different from the other leaders. In a title, he said that the Islamic Republic's well-calculated an unwavering policy in the first of U.S. will not be changed and has not been changed during these 40 years after the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Brother Ali, what's your comment on that, and what's your take on that, on the Supreme Leader's opinion regarding the results of the election of the U.S.?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. First, I'd like to, if I got it right, I want to tackle a part of your introduction where you said that the leader of the Islamic Ummah said that it does not affect Iran or any other country, but it might affect other countries. The new election that happened in the U.S. might affect the other countries, but the leader of the Islamic Ummah said it does not affect our policies towards the U.S. And it's quite right, because we have seen during the last four decades that the leaders or the presidents of the United States, whether they are Democrats or Republicans, they don't have any drastic difference while they are going to approach Iran and the actually bilateral relations between Iran and the U.S. And all of them almost were the same. So if we want to differentiate between the person who is leaving and the one who is coming, I think it's better to say a person who is living was a person without mask, and the person who is coming is a person who is wearing mask. So we have seen even at the time that this person was the deputy of the president in the previous governments of the U.S., we have seen the pressures that they have put against Iran at the time that this person was the...
Would you name him? Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Yeah. We have seen that while this person was vice president of the U.S., right after the agreement that was done and happened between 5+1 and Iran. Mm-hmm. And they, right after the agreement, a day after it, they actually broke it and they started another sanction on Iran. Then the first day after signing the contract. So it is quite clear that from a person, from as he mentions, defines Trump as Bolton defines Trump, a characterless personality. Mm-hmm. So it expects something like this can be expected, but for a person who tries to show himself as a wise or as a, I don't know, politician.
Okay.
So to break all the agreements that happened recently does not have any meaning. So we have seen during the government of other Democrat leaders that they have the same policy towards Iran.
That's all right.
And there was no actually difference, mm-hmm. In a sense, in their relationship with Iran and in their way that they approach Iran issue in their country.
Okay.
So
thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. But I'd love to know. But Said Mohsen, for sure they know that any person is different from Donald Trump, because we can say he was like an ideal breaker in the field of politics. In the U.S., we know that, maybe as Brother Ali said, behind the scene, most of the policies and the politics of the U.S. are the same, and they have mapped, we can say, the road that are taken for the Middle East, the Israel-Palestine relation, Iran and other countries. But the case is that he was different, you know, and he acted differently. Even now, when he's in the office, he's acting differently. That's why maybe the world had a hope that if he's going to topple down and leave the office and Joe Biden and Harris come, you know, some of their policies might be changed, and we can say. And for sure, the sanctions that this Trump did and the treaties that he left, you know, during his presidency, were many. And we can say in comparison to the previous presidents, you know, it was something new that happened. Still, do you believe that the change of this president in the U.S. Has no effect on the, for example, the situation of the other countries or the policies in the Middle East?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, my wordings might hurt some of the people or okay. The listeners, but I need to say that what I see America, mm-hmm. I see that in two main parties. One is Democrats and the other is Republican. I usually say that the Republicans are the thugs and the Democrats are the hypocrites. Mm-hmm. In America, we have seen this in the history, that there is a system which is obviously running from over the time. No matter either the hypocrites or the thugs, they come into the, you can say, like in the administration, the system is there and they have to follow the system. Whoever follows the system, obviously the system supports that, and then the party wins the election. Mm-hmm. No doubt there are obviously, there were problems in the election. They were not the true election. As the president himself is saying, like, we have issues with these votings and all those.
Okay, the ballot and the votings.
The ballot and
this claim of fraud.
Fraud as well.
Okay, recounting also.
So,
okay.
No doubt these things has happened in America, mm-hmm. and this is happening. The problem is there is a system behind it who is doing that, and mm-hmm. who is basically supporting the Zionist regime. Mm-hmm. And they bring, obviously, either from the Democrats or from the Republican, a person in the administration, and they make him the president,
okay.
as they wish. The main idea is obviously whoever comes, he has to follow the system, he has to live within the system. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, being from the Republican Party, which I say like they're the thugs, obviously.
Okay.
So the nature of the thugs are that they don't hide anything. They just say whatever they claim. Whatever it's in their heart, they just say it clearly. Hypocrites, they don't say that, those things. They sugarcoat everything. Mm-hmm. And then they basically tell everything. So the main difference between these two presidents will be, obviously, the Biden will be like Obama, or maybe the previous presidents who were from the Democrat Party, okay, who were the hypocrites, mm-hmm, basically, and who used to sugarcoat everything and tell, like, people the lies in a sugar-coated, you can say, a way. But obviously, the style or the working style of Trump was, obviously, he was, whatever it was, he used to say it.
Yes, that's
without right, any sugarcoating.
Okay.
So for America itself, there might be a difference. They might see a difference in the in the style of working.
Okay.
That's what they can see.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of the world, the policies are the same. There is no change in the policies.
Okay.
Neither for the rest of the countries, mm-hmm, nor for Iran. Why? It's because the system who is running the whole America, the system under which these parties, either the Republican or the Democrats or other parties, who have to basically rule that country and who have to obviously administrate that country, they have to follow that system. The system has specific rules for it. The system has obviously...
Sorry, this word system is repeated a lot. What is this system, brother?
Obviously...
You mean the agents behind the system?
The agents behind the system, the think tanks who are sitting behind it,
okay,
who are basically running basically the president as well.
They're funded by the Jews a lot. Okay.
Yes. Obviously, right, they are the Zionist regime supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm saying system, obviously there is a group of people behind, mm-hmm, it.
Okay.
Who are running the whole America? Mm-hmm. They claim that they're running the, for example, like the whole world,
okay,
and they're the supreme power. And no matter whoever comes as a president in America, he has to follow their obviously orders. And they're living according to them. And obviously, when I'm saying system, it's referred to them.
That's
in
right,
regards okay, to the, obviously, changes, I said, obviously, there is no change in the policies because the system, those people are there, it's just, mm-hmm, the president, front face is changing.
Okay.
It's just like when you are in a company, the company has its own rules, but obviously, board of directors maybe or the manager,
mm-hmm,
he changes.
So
he
you
brings,
have no
he
hope.
Brings,
okay.
No, he brings a minor changes in his, the change is how to deliver things.
Mm-hmm.
The changes in the delivery of those orders that are set by that system or the company. I'm giving the example of company because the company has its own sets and rules and regulations.
Yeah,
it has its own handbook.
Okay.
And then when a manager comes in that company, he makes changes in the way when he has to deliver those orders. In the delivery, there are the changes.
Okay.
There can be a different way, different approaches to do one thing. So in approaches, yes, they are different, but in the main idea that how to run the country, what to do, what are the policies against, for example, the Eastern countries, the Middle East, all those policies are the same. There is no change in the policies.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Brother
You're
Ali
welcome.
And Sayyid Mohsen. It was very kind of you. And dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Check out our website, parstoday.com/Ian Khalaf Islam page. Also our YouTube page, Khalaf Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from
whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about pondering on a wonderful maxim from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The worst of people is he who has two faces and two tongues, praises his brother in front of him, and eats his flesh in his absence.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In what may be one of the biggest recalls in the automotive world, General Motors has announced it is calling in as many as 7 million vehicles across the globe to check potential problems with Takata airbags installed, replacing them if required. A large number of these vehicles are expected to be in the US alone. The announcement from General Motors came on Monday, 23rd of November, after the US government informed it that it had to recall around 6 million vehicles in the country to check for the potential fault with the airbag inflators. The carmaker stated that it believes the vehicles are safe, but it chose not to fight back against the decision and instead issued recall orders. It is estimated that the cost of the recall could be a massive $1.2 billion. General Motors has previously been accused by car owners of putting its profits over safety of buyers. As a result, the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, has been keeping a close eye on the company. We now present you an article written by staff writers of the Associated Press under the heading GM to recall 7 million vehicles globally to replace Takata airbags. Please stay with us for more of the Associated Press article. General Motors will recall about 7 million big pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles, SUVs, worldwide to replace potentially dangerous Takata airbag inflators. The announcement came on Monday, 23rd of November, after the U.S. government told the automaker it had to recall 6 million of the vehicles in the United States. General Motors says it will not fight the decision, even though it believes the vehicles are safe. It will cost the company an estimated $1.2 billion, about one-third of its net income so far this year. The automaker had petitioned the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, four times since 2016 to avoid recalls, contending the airbag inflator canisters have been safe on the road and in testing. But the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration on Monday denied the petitions, saying the inflators will run the risk of exploding. Owners complained to the NHTSA that the company was placing profits before safety. Exploding Takata inflators caused the largest series of auto recalls in U.S. history, with at least 63 million inflators recalled. The U.S. government says that as of September, more than 11.1 million had not been fixed. About 100 million inflators have been recalled worldwide. Takata used volatile ammonium nitrate to create a small explosion to fill airbags in a crash, but the chemical can deteriorate when exposed to heat and humidity, and they can explode with too much pressure, blowing apart a metal canister and spewing shrapnel. 27 people have been killed worldwide by the exploding inflators, including 18 individuals in the United States. The recent decision by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, is a major step in drawing the Takata saga to a close. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it means that all Takata ammonium nitrate inflators in the United States will be recalled. Earlier this year, the agency decided against the recall of inflators with a moisture-absorbing chemical called a desiccant. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said it would monitor those inflators and take action if problems arise. General Motors will recall full-size pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles, SUVs, from the 2007 through to 2014 model years, including the Chevrolet Silverado 1500, 2500 and 3500 pickup trucks. The Silverado is General Motors' top-selling vehicle and the second best-selling vehicle in the United States. Also covered are the Chevrolet Suburban, Tahoe and Avalanche, the Cadillac Escalade, GMC Sierra 1500, 2500 and 3500, and the GMC Yukon. It took the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration more than 4 years to arrive at its decision, which comes towards the end of President Donald Trump's four-year term in office. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration said in a prepared statement that it analyzed all available data on the airbags, including engineering and statistical analysis, aging tests, and field data. The agency said, based on this information and information provided to the petition's public docket, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration concluded that the General Motors inflators in question are at risk of the same type of explosion after long-term exposure to high heat and humidity as others recalled Takata inflators. The statement said the company has 30 days to give the NHTSA a proposed schedule for notifying vehicle owners and starting the recall. General Motors said, although it believes the recall isn't warranted, based on the factual and scientific records, it will abide by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration's decision. Spokesman Dan Flores said recently that none of the inflators have blown apart in the field or in laboratory testing. but he said General Motors wants to avoid a drawn-out fight with the government. In a 2019 petition to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, General Motors said the inflators were designed to its specifications and are safe, with no explosions, even though nearly 67,000 airbags have been deployed in the field. It said the inflators have larger vents and steel end caps to make them stronger. But Takata declared the General Motors front passenger inflators defective under a 2015 agreement with the government. In its petition, General Motors said that Northrop Grumman tested 4,270 inflators by artificially exposing them to added humidity and temperature cycling, and there were no explosions or abnormal deployments. However, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration hired airbag chemical expert Harold Blomquist, who told 25 airbag patents to review the data, and he concluded that the General Motors airbags were similar to other Takata inflators that had exploded in the past. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said in documents test results for the GM inflators included abnormally high pressure events, indicative of potential future rupture risks. The agency wrote, "These findings illustrate that General Motors inflators have a similar, if not identical, degradation continuum to other Takata inflators that have exploded in the past." Dan Flores said General Motors already has purchased 1.6 million replacement inflators made by ZFTRW that do not use ammonium nitrate. Jason Levine, executive director of the Nonprofit Center for Auto Safety, which opposed General Motors' petitions to avoid recalls, said it's a good day for millions of General Motors owners who had to wait 4 years for a decision on whether they are driving with an unexploded hand grenade in their steering wheel. Shares of General Motors rose nearly 3% on Monday, trading at $44.21 a share. The company said the recall will be phased in based on replacement inflator availability and will cost $400 million this year. The previous Takata recalls drove the Japanese company into bankruptcy and brought criminal charges against the company. Eventually, it was purchased by a Chinese-owned auto parts supplier.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, you choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamu alaikum and welcome. We are going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes. Yeah,
I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Today, Sunday, is the 13th of Rabi Uthani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 66 to 67.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
Are they waiting except for the hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not?
الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين.
Close friends, that day will be enemies to each other, except for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, the bonds of friendship of the pious are everlasting. Why? Since they are established on everlasting values whose fruitful consequences shall be more evident on the day of resurrection, and thereby they place them on a firmer basis. It is natural that friends render assistance to each other in daily life, and if their friendship based on evil and corruption, they will be accomplices in their sins and crimes. However, if their friendship be based on good and discretion, they will be associates in recompense. Therefore, it is not surprising to know that the former will turn into enmity and the latter into firmer friendship.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
Today is a special, and what does Islam say about friendship? Friends are an integral and important part of our social life, as they contribute gently to the development of one's personality and they affect many aspects of our lives. Islam, in complete harmony with man's nature, deals extensively both in the Quran and the narrations with the issue of friendship in Islam. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, while explaining the impact of friends, says, "Man is influenced by the faith of his friends. Therefore, be careful of whom you befriend." Similarly, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, "Try to have as many as possible true friends, for they are supplies in joy and the shelters in misfortunes."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. Those people who are short of making friends usually feel very lonely, although they live in human communities. I mean, there's a difference between living with people and making friends with them. And there's also another piece of wisdom related from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who said, "Al-ghalibu man laysa lahu habib." The stranger is a person who hasn't got any friend. Now we find that in the Islamic religion, we find there are many indications, many recommendations for people to make friends with suitable people. Of course, not everybody may be regarded as suitable for making friends with. However, making friends is a merit. And Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'ajazu al-nasi man a'ajaza an iktisab al-ikhwan. Wa a'ajazu minhum man daya'a man dafara bihi minhum. The weakest of all people is one who hasn't been able to make friends. And yet, I mean, the most weakest person is the one who loses the friends he has made.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why. Why am I? Who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, I mean, the salam.
Rights of Friends. Al-Waqidi relayed the following story. The eighth day was about to come while I had no single dirham in possession. My wife, noticing this manner, asked me to do something, since our children would be very distressed if they saw the other children with new clothes. Hence, I had to send a letter to my Hashemite friend asking him for help. He therefore sent me a bag of 1,000 dirhams. As soon as I received them, another friend of mine sent me a letter complaining about neediness. I had to send him that very bag. Because I was embraced to see my wife, I spent that night in the mosque. The next morning, I went home and told her of the story. She did not blame me for so. In fact, she praised me for such a doing. After a while, my Hashemite friend came to me bearing the very bag of 1,000 dirhams. He asked me to tell him the truth. Therefore, I told the whole story. He said, "When I received your letter, I had nothing at all but that bag. Nevertheless, I send it to you." I then wrote a letter to our friend asking for help, and he sent me the very bag. Hence, we may distribute that sum among us. Friendly ways, how to choose good friends in Islam. Have a good morals. Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, ever said that permissibility, that the good friends and bad friends are like a perfume seller and a blacksmith. The perfume seller may give you perfume, or you can buy perfume from him, and even if you do not, you still get the smell from him. while the blacksmith, it could be a spark of his fire hit your clothes, and if it is not you, still get the smell of his odor as a smoke. In the hadith is said that friends will greatly affect us in behaving and morals. Therefore, we must always choose friends who have the good morals.
Bad friends can really misguide us and take us far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, there was a famous poet by the name of Al-A'sha, a very eloquent poet. He was one of the authors of Al-Mu'allaqat al-Sab'. You know, there were seven famous poems, the peak of Arabic poetry, which were hung on the Kaaba. Al-A'sha was one of the authors of those poems. He came from the region of Najd. He heard that a man has come forward claiming to be a messenger of God. So he told it to him, he told himself, let me go and see. Is this man truthful? I've heard a lot of good things about what he preaches. Let me go hear him. And if what he says makes sense, then I'll embrace his religion. I'll be a Muslim. There's no problem in that. As he was heading to go and meet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, one of his friends told him, wait a minute, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Mecca to meet this man. His name is Muhammad and he claims to be a messenger. I want to hear him. He seems to be saying good things. His bad friend told him, no, I don't think you should go. He's like, why? He's like, because this man's religion is quite complicated. He says, what do you mean? Why is it complicated? He says, for one, he outlaws adultery. If you become Muslim, you can no longer commit adultery. And Asha thought for a moment. He's like, that's good. I agree with that. This is an act of corruption. And if he outlaws adultery, that's a good sign. Then I should embrace his religion. His friend realized this didn't work out. Then finally, he put the bait for him. He told him, let me tell you something else. Do you know that Muhammad outlaws drinking alcohol? If you become a Muslim, you can no longer drink. Now, Al-A'sha was addicted to drinking. Just like most people in the pre-Islamic times in Arabia, they were addicted to alcohol and drinking. So Al-A'sha is like, no, this is too tough. Let me not go and see the Prophet and become a Muslim. Let me go back to my village, drink as much alcohol as I can. You know, I'm trying to compensate for the future. And then next year, I'll go and meet him and I become a Muslim. Let me enjoy myself from now till the next year. You know what happened to him? Did Allah give him that additional year? He died before the following year. And what happened to him? He died as a mushrik, as a pagan, someone addicted to drinking. That's how he met his Lord. Why? Because of a bad friend.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. Close my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.